Good evening, everyone. I'd like to call the April 22nd, 2019 meeting of the University City City Council to order at 6:30. Ms. Reese, would you please call the roll?
Councilmember Clay? Present. Councilmember Carr?
Present.
Councilmember McMahon?
Here.
Councilmember Hales?
Here.
Councilmember Cusick?
Here.
Councilmember Smotherson?
Here.
Mayor Crow?
Here. Before you, you have the agenda, a motion to approve. Motion to approve by Ms. Carr. Is there a second? Seconded by Mr. Cusick. Is there discussion? Hearing no discussion, those in favor, please signify by saying aye. Opposed? The ayes have it. We have a proclamation that the council has signed for, as I recall, Kids to Parks Day, May 18, 2019, the 9th. Kids to Parks Day organized and launched by the National Park Trust, held annually on the third Saturday of May. And whereas Kids to Parks Day empowers kids and encourages families to get outdoors and visit America's parks, and whereas it is important to introduce a new generation to our nation's parks, and whereas we should encourage children to lead a more active lifestyle to combat the issues of childhood obesity, diabetes, mellitus, hypertension, and hypercholesterolemia, I hope I got that right. And whereas Kids to Parks Day will broaden children's appreciation for nature and outdoors. Now, therefore, the City Council of University City, Missouri, do hereby proclaim University City's participation in Kids to Parks Day. We urge residents of University City to make time on May 18, 2019, to take their children and their lives to a neighborhood, state, or national park. Whereof we have hereunto set our hands and caused the seal of the City of University City to be affixed this 22nd day of April in the year 2019. You have before you the minutes of April 8th, 2019 regular session. Is there a motion to approve? Motion by Ms. Carr, seconded by Mr. McMahon. Is there a discussion? Hearing no discussion, those in favor, please signify by saying aye. Opposed? The ayes have it. You have before you the April 8th study session minutes with the subject matter of recycling. Is there a motion that the minutes be approved? Motion by Mr. Hale, seconded by Mr. Smotherson. Any discussion? Hearing none, those in favor, please signify by saying aye. Opposed? The ayes have it. We have no appointments to boards or commissions, nor swearing in. Citizen participation, many of you, if you've not been here before, there are sign-up sheets over as you come in the door to sign up to speak on either agenda or non-agenda items. When you come to the microphone to speak, we ask that you give your name and address. If you are speaking on a non-agenda item, then we have citizen comments for 15 minutes in the beginning and another section at the end. If you are speaking on an agenda item, then you will be called at the time that that item comes forward on the agenda. As we move forward with the citizen comments, I do want to take just a moment and say that I was talking earlier with my colleagues, and three of us in particular, at least, Council Members Carr, Smotherson, and I, remember what it was like at times to not feel like we were kept informed as to what was going on, even when we were members of council. And I think at times there are probably members of the public that may feel the same way, particularly when we have such a large project coming forward as Olive and 170. So what I wanted to make sure that I at least laid out for everyone this evening is that the city is currently working with the developer to finalize a development agreement that can be brought forward to the council. Any introduction of a development agreement will be in the form of an ordinance. The first reading will occur at one meeting, and then the second and third readings with a vote would occur at a subsequent meeting. So when the development agreement ordinance is first introduced, there will be no vote, there will be no discussion. It will be read, introduced, and then at a subsequent meeting, there will be a second reading and a third reading and likely a vote. The council has said consistently that we have no interest in calling a special meeting. We have no interest in rushing this through. We may be boring, but we are methodical, and we intend to stay that way. The city manager has assured us that once negotiations are concluded, the agreement will then be put on the agenda for introduction and then a vote at a subsequent meeting. So now I'd like to turn it over to citizen comments. We have 15 minutes. The first request to speak is from Eric Mosley. So please come forward and give your name and address, and the time limit for each person is 5 minutes. Could you hit the button at the bottom of the microphone, and it'll give you the amplification. Thank you.
Eric Mosley, 7709 Trenton. I purchased my home at 7709 Trenton 43 years ago. Since that time, I have observed thousands of children either walking to or from school or watch them enter or exit a bus on the way home. During those 43 years, the children I have seen share at least one thing in common. Literally hundreds of street crews have been assigned by Ameren, Spire, MSD, Missouri Water to do installations or repairs supported by our usage fees. Based on my experience, everyone in those work crews was white. At the same time, almost everyone in my third ward is black. Whereas children today are fully aware of the skyrocketing cost of college, they are equally aware that the street construction crews that I mentioned are off limits to them. As those children reach high school graduation age, construction work is not even on the radar. I'm asking the U City Council to draft and pass a bill which would require companies like the ones I mentioned to employ only work crews in each U City ward that mirror the racial makeup of public school populations in that ward. Many children aren't aware that construction jobs pay in excess of $70,000 a year and provide excellent medical, dental, vacation, and pension benefits. Best of all, they can get those jobs without benefit of a college degree and without college debt. Now is the time to get public school principals, counselors, parents, and other stakeholders on board about the need to help our kids. If we continue to fail to look out for the employment interests of our children, then we will almost guarantee that those children will live off the public taxes instead of becoming taxpayers. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Our next request to speak is Linda Baldwin.
Thank you. I'm not sure I can speak that fast, so bear with me and let me know when my 5 minutes or 2 minutes are up. My name is Linda Baldwin. I'm at 1201 Watts. I first of all want to thank you for the opportunity to speak with you today. I am here to address issues regarding the reconstruction work that has been ongoing since October 2018 to present. And the manner in which that work was done, damage that was done to my property specifically, damage that was done to the sidewalks, streets, and curbs. We received a letter from the Missouri Water Company indicating that they would repair all things and replace so that the property would look the same as it did before the work was done, and that is not the case at all. I spoke with my third ward councilman who agreed with me that the quality of the work is lousy. I visited other areas in University City, such as Amherst, Shaftbury, Tulane. Those areas were done with quality product and performance. What they've done on the corner of 1201 Watts and Melrose is unacceptable. I'm asking that you appoint someone to come out and take a look at the property, and let's discuss what can be done to restore our streets, sidewalks, and curbs so that they meet the mission statement of University City. My major concern is that they implemented for the first time in my 35 years of residency a wheelchair ramp that is not in compliance with ADA and is inconsistent with all the wheelchair ramps, other wheelchair ramps, in all the other areas of University City. I had some personal damage to my property that I would like to be addressed as well. When they did the groundbreaking to bedrock to install the water pipes, I have epoxy stone from my lower level step up to the front and around my home area. Only one of the steps was damaged, but I'd like that step to be replaced. I'm going to leave, with your permission, photos and a copy of my presentation, and I look forward to hearing from you soon. Thank you.
Thank you. Our next request to speak is Patricia McQueen.
Thank you. My name is Patricia McQueen. I live at 1132 George Street, and I applaud the previous speaker because I totally agree with her because I live in her neighborhood. And I would also ask for some guidance about the time, you know, of my speech. Dear Honorable Mayor, City Council members, and City Managers, I am standing before you tonight because I'm concerned about the status of the I-170 and Olive redevelopment project. I have been very patient and observant about what the members of the community have stated at past City Council meetings. Let me be clear. I am in support of the redevelopment project and have stated so in the past. However, I'm concerned about the pace of the negotiation, and I understand the frustration of the homeowner and businessman who spoke at one of the previous City Council meetings. I am concerned that a critical window is closing and University City will miss an opportunity to stabilize the neighborhoods on the northwestern part, if not all, of the Third Ward. I have heard the concerns about the possibility of rising rents and taxes, but honestly, those will go up anyway, even if the redevelopment project does not go through. The county assessors should be receiving those concerns. There should be research done on whether some of the modest homes can have lower taxes grandfathered in, that is, with the agreement. And is there evidence of such a program in other cities in the nation? Nuisance properties can be addressed in another project. We have a new director of planning and development, and I hope he will be given a directive to consider this issue and begin developing innovative solutions to the problem within the year. Vacant properties have always been a hot button for me for years, but I understand the multifaceted approach and solutions need to come from not only the city government, but from the residents, area banks, and other stakeholders. Center for Community Progress conducts an annual national conference every year, this year in Atlanta, Georgia, about vacant properties issue, and I hope some of the community development staff, city officials, and interested residents would attend. At the April 8th City Council meeting, the 2005 comprehensive plan was brought up. Most of the comments were not accurate. There was an effort to update the 2005 comprehensive plan, and I was on that advisory committee, whereby surveys were done with the community residents and results documented. Another comment was made about the number of people who attended the TIF meeting at the Mandarin Restaurant and Banquet Center and what the people expressed. Both sides were heard, not just one. It was stated that many of the CBA concerns were going to be addressed in the negotiations and in the final redevelopment document. My last paragraph. Lately, I want to state that I am not witnessing or felt that there's been any toxic environment within the City Council chambers during the meetings of the current administration. I do feel that the previous administration meetings were toxic, and I sat, witnessed, and spoke up at those meetings. Free speech was threatened back then. Free speech is not being threatened now with the current administration. Residents can speak as their right, even when they communicate in a borderline defamation tone while conducting personal attacks, present negative innuendos and emotional arguments, and present little factual data information. Respectfully submitted, Patricia McQueen, 3rd Ward resident.
Our next request to speak is Jerome Bauer. The bottom button to the center. There you go.
Hi, I'm Jerome Bauer. I currently live at 6036 Pushing Avenue in St. Louis, Missouri, City of St. Louis. I used to live from 1999 to 2005 here in University City at 6817 Kingsbury. And I'm just here because I've been informed that some people have claimed that we in St. Louis City don't have a problem with TIF, with tax increment financing, and there's not been a lot of dissent or a lot of protest over it. I can tell you that's just not true. I've been involved in many protests of TIF, notably the Paul McKee Northside Regeneration Project. A vibrant African-American community was slated for demolition to make way for a gated community. It's a gentrification project. And it was done very, very secretively, and I was involved in protesting that. Another notable example is the Loop Trolley. One common issue, partially funded by a TIF, one common complaint I hear about that is that it doesn't go anywhere. Well, it goes to shops that don't exist, or now to some shops that don't exist yet, or that don't exist anymore. It's intended, really. What we're borrowing against a future that may not ever come, and maybe we don't want it to come. So anyway, I've been a candidate for public office in St. Louis 6 times so far as a Green, and I've run on a program, platform that involves banning TIF, really an indefinite moratorium until we can figure out how to get it to work for us in St. Louis. And when I announced that, the City of St. Louis Treasurer, Tashara Jones, came on the radio and said, well, I don't think we should ban them altogether, but at least we shouldn't be handing them out like candy. Well, I think we all agreed we shouldn't be handing them out like candy, and we have been doing so in the City of St. Louis, and it doesn't always work out very well. When I announced my platform to ban TIF, a good friend of mine from Michigan who works for the Parks Department objected to tell me that, well, she was involved in writing a TIF for a small community in the Upper Peninsula of St. Louis, not St. Louis, Upper Peninsula of Michigan, excuse me, to keep the rich tourists from just driving on through to spruce up the downtown district so that they would stop and buy some things. And she said it worked out really pretty well, because the rich tourists did indeed stop and buy things in the local stores, but they kept on driving. They didn't buy up real estate in the town, and they didn't like the town so much that they wanted to live there and drive everybody out. So it worked out pretty well, and she said that everybody was consulted and everybody benefited. So what is the harm in it? And I told her, well, no harm. As far as I can tell, if what you tell me is true, it was transparent, and the people who lived in the small town benefited, so it worked out pretty well. So one size never fits all. What might work in Michigan is not working for us here in St. Louis, and since I no longer live in University City, I don't really have a vote here about the current controversial TIF project, but I'm just here to tell you that it's not working for us in St. Louis, and I'm not the only one who thinks so. So that's all I wanted to say. Thanks.
Thank you very much. That concludes this portion of the agenda regarding citizen comments. We'll now move forward with the consent agenda. You have before you three items on the consent agenda. A motion to approve. Mr. McMahon, second. Mr. Hales, any discussion? Ms. Carr.
I'd like to look at the committed and uncommitted funds reserve. Is that... the CIP...
Yeah, I think the microphone's probably a little bit further away.
Okay, so so this was in 2018. We had a resolution. Is that correct?
Honorable Mayor, Mayor Pro Tem.
So it would have been for the transfer station.
Yes, that was what you're referring to as the resolution 2018-9, which allowed for the basically the carry forward funds for associated with proposed improvements to the transfer station. This agenda item is proposing to use those funds in a different way, still for the transfer station, but for, as I understand it, improvements to the ramp, as well as I believe the fencing has already been improved. And I've asked Public Works Director Sinan Aplaslan to come forward and brief on this item.
The proposal is for the $40,000 of the $90,000 carried forward transfer station repair funding to be kept for those repairs as a phase one repair effort to fix anchor rods on the ramp. $50,000 of it to be reallocated to complete the transfer station truck scale project to build its access road off of Pennsylvania Avenue and fence improvements. Fence improvements are complete, but to integrate the project together.
Any other questions? Hearing none, those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The consent agenda has passed. Mr. Rose, a moment under the city manager's report.
Yes. Honorable Mayor, council members, in accordance with Article 3, subsection 19.2 of the Charter of the City of University, it's my honor to present the recommended balanced proposed FY 2020 annual operating budget and capital improvement program for FY 2020 through FY 2024. This document is intended to be placed on the city's website by the end of the week is what we are targeting. And I intend to provide you with an overview of the proposed budget on May the 9th. So that will be a special meeting. And subsequently have a study session with you on the budget and the capital improvement program. I believe it's scheduled in the first part of June. That concludes my remarks.
Mr. Clay?
Yes, thank you, Mayor Crow. City Manager Rose, I know in the...
Is everybody able to hear us tonight? I'm looking at people who seem to have furrowed brows. So, thank you.
How about this? All right. Thank you, Mayor Crow. City Manager Rose, I know in the past there have been budget meetings that have taken place in the community, churches, other facilities. Is that something that is being explored?
Mayor, Councilmember Clay, those are not scheduled. We're certainly not opposed to it. It depends upon the timing and what the need exists. So if we are able to move forward pretty quickly and get all of the questions answered for the mayor and council, and there's time available, then certainly we're open to having community meetings.
Thank you very much. We'll now move forward to new business resolutions. Who would like to introduce resolution 2019-4, certification of election results? Introduced by Ms. Carr. Is there a second? Seconded by Mr. McMahon. Is there any discussion? Hearing no discussion, those in favor of certifying the election results of Jeff Hales in the Ward 1 election, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The ayes have it. Congratulations, Mr. Hales. You ready to swear him in? We will now move forward with the swearing in of Mr. Hales to the first ward council seat.
I, Jeff Hales,
do solemnly swear that I possess all of the qualifications and am not subject to any of the disqualifications named in the charter for the office I am about to assume.
Do solemnly swear that I possess all of the qualifications and am not subject to any of the disqualifications named in the charter for the office I am about to assume.
That I will support the Constitution and the laws of the United States and of the State of Missouri and the charter and ordinances of the University City.
That I will support the Constitution and the laws of the United States and the State of Missouri and the charter and ordinances of University City.
And that I will faithfully and conscientiously discharge the duties of the office I am about to assume with impartiality and justice.
And that I will faithfully and conscientiously discharge the duties of the office I am about to assume with impartiality and justice. Thank you.
We will now move forward with the council reports and business. Do any members of council have any agenda items to discuss under this section of the agenda? Mr. Smotherson.
Thank you, Mayor Crow. I just wanted to make sure that everybody was aware of the Arts and Letters event that's happening this Saturday. And the Arts and Letters events, this is the public arts presentation, and it's at Mooney Park, and it's from 12 to 1. Now, again, just to explain, the public arts project is with WashU sculpture students, and this year the project is FLAG. So I think you would be really interested in seeing their art project. And I'll tell you how important these projects are, because sometimes these art projects become permanent installations in this city and around the city. So again, that the project celebrates and kicks off 12 to 1 at Mooney Park, and Mooney Park is the former Jackson Park. Thank you.
Councilmember Clay.
Yes, wanted to provide an update as to the workings of the Senior Commission. Couple things to note. First and foremost, there is a senior event taking place on Sunday, May 5th, from 2:30 to 5 p.m. It will feature informational booths and entertainment. The mayor will be glad to know that at 5 p.m. the St. Louis Ukulele Group will be playing. So we all are looking forward to that. But seriously, it is a fantastic event by all accounts, and I encourage you to come out. There's information for certainly our senior population, but for all residents. There was some concern brought up, Councilman Smotherson mentioned it last week, about some senior programming moving from University City. That programming is facilitated by Aging Ahead. As you might imagine, this was an issue taken up at the Senior Commission, and concern was expressed there. I know Councilman Smotherson and I believe Darren Dunkel, I believe our new community development director, were at a meeting, I believe, I want to say last Thursday, in which they addressed those seniors with the information we knew about the transition of the programming. It should be made clear that University City provides the facility but are not agents of the program. It is run by Aging Ahead. So as to the transition, we were notified when everyone else was. So I know the team on the city management side is attempting to address this transition and the impact to folks who would be affected by it. So we'll continue to keep you updated on that as well.
Anyone else? Hearing nothing else, we will now move forward to our second section of citizen comments. Once again, when you come to the microphone, please give your name and address, and you will be limited to 5 minutes as well. Next request to speak is Richard Burke.
Hello, Richard Burke, 6508 Etzel Avenue. I have come to speak again about my opposition to the proposed Olive I-170 development plan. At the last council meeting, we were treated to something of a lecture about the good of rising property values. I don't think that any homeowner needs to be reminded of that. However, I do think we need to be reminded that rising property taxes can in fact be a double-edged sword. They come along with rising property values. People who are on fixed incomes, people who are lower income, may find themselves priced out of a home. And this is in a country where we are having a kind of a crisis with affordable housing. Now, call me naive, but when my wife and I moved here some 16 years ago, we didn't come thinking of making an investment. We wanted to come to a town we loved and had loved for long before we moved there, and to be part of the community. I am concerned for that community. Therefore, I would ask you to reconsider the Olive I-170 development, or, failing that, at least enter into some kind of community benefits agreement so that we can have some legal backing for the claimed benefits that the town is supposed to receive. Thank you.
Our next request to speak is Don Fitz.
Hi, my name is Don Fitz. I live at 720 Harvard in University City. I would like to read a few sentences from an article which appeared in the St. Louis Post-Dispatch last Friday, April the 12th, titled Retail Apocalypse, Analysts Say 75,000 More Stores Doomed. Widespread closures have roiled the retail industry, but many more stores are likely to shut down in coming years to keep up with the shift to online shopping. An estimated 75,000 stores that sell clothing and electronics and furniture will close by 2026, when online shopping is expected to make up 25% of retail sales. Already this year, retailers have announced plans to close thousands of stores as they keep up with changing consumer habits. The main reason for the shift, analysts say, is simple. Americans are increasingly shopping online. What this illustrates is that Olive Street TIF, if it goes through, could fully replace family-owned businesses with a deserted wasteland of concrete. At the last meeting on April 8th, Mayor Crow said the TIF would be decided by seven people elected and not by a vote of the citizen. And a week before, Wayne Smotherson, councilperson, said he did not even want to have a poll to find out what residents wanted. This is one of the most extreme examples of elected persons being contemptuous of those elected that I have seen. Actually, that might be extreme. There's a lot of examples of people being contemptuous of those elected them. But it was a false statement that they were elected, that the current council was elected to make decisions. The essential issue is what decisions was the council elected to make. The council never campaigned on a racist effort to destroy Asian restaurants along the closest thing to a Chinatown in the entire St. Louis area. Now, at least when Donald Trump was open enough to campaign on racism, the University City Council compares unfavorably to Trump because they did not campaign in an effort to waste over $70 million of taxpayer money as a gift to corporations. The closest thing that American history that this reminds me of is when Woodrow Wilson campaigned in the campaigned for re-election, and the slogan, "He kept us out of war," and then proceeded to take this country into World War I. I mean, I supported everybody running for office on the basis that they said they were going to improve University City, not on the basis that they were going to force people out by increasing taxes and rents and destroy family-owned businesses. It seems that the council is having a difficult time keeping the story straight. The mayor said that the council was not responsible for the 2005 plan because it was not in office at that time. Yet on April 3rd, Councilman Smotherson said that the 2005 plan was approved because nobody opposed it. It appears that the council is very divided, and the mayor might be having a hard time keeping everyone in line. But the point of bringing up the 2005 plan is that not one single person on the council campaigned on dramatically changing the 2005 plan, and we never knew what the council was going to do. The mayor never campaigned or threatened to do what he said he would do. There is not a mandate by the electorate to do this.
Next request to speak is Leif Johnson.
My name is Leif Johnson. I live at 836 Barclay Square, University City. I have noticed that Sinkfield's bond tax ripoff has no major opponents. But I ask, does that mean we can't defeat him? Yes, this time Mr. Sinkfield and his bond tax financial dictatorship crew have all their bases covered. This time he has a $25 million propaganda campaign supplemented by massive radio, television, and press coverage. The biggest lineup of corporate, academic, political, legal, and financial interests ever assembled in St. Louis. Third, he has destroyed the opposition by creating a phony alternative plan called a freeholders plan run by Crewson and Stenger, the same people who will run the Sinkfield plan if it passed. Can we defeat Sinkfield and his City Council Financial Control Board? Let's look at the previous attempts to destroy local government. 1930, constitutional amendment. Combined metro government to take over sewage, water, and parks. The vote, statewide, yes, 218,000. No, 378,000. County, yes, 14,000. No, 21,000. 1958-59, a freeholders plan, mind you, to create a metro government to take over arterial roads, wastewater sewers, public transportation, land use, and, most important, economic development. You know what economic development means in their terms. The vote was city, yes, 21,000, no, 43,000. County, yes, 7,000, no, 82,000. 1962, constitutional amendment. To create 22 boroughs in a municipal county, with each borough having two votes, that is to say, eliminating the local governments and creating a borough system. The vote was statewide, yes, 217,000, no, 633,000. How about the county? Yes, 47,000. No, 180,000. Well, how about the city? Yes, 55,000. No, 67,000. I'll have you note that the 1962, what I just referred to, combined city council no vote was only 247,000. but the total outstate no vote was 385,000. Why is anyone worried about the outstate vote? It was overwhelmingly in our favor. Thank you.
That concludes our citizen participation for this evening. Council comments, colleagues. Anyone have comments they'd like to make this evening? Mr. Cusick.
Yes, sir, Mayor. Thank you. I would just like to remind everyone that this Friday evening is the opening of the annual University City, or U City in Bloom plant sale. And it starts, I believe, at 5 o'clock. And come out Friday night and pay $25 and get in and get your choice of the best plants. And then, of course, the sale will be on Saturday and concluding on Sunday. So we'd just like to get everyone to come out and support U City in Bloom. Thank you.
Ms. Carr.
I actually have a question for the city manager. I received a question today about mosquitoes. It isn't quite mosquito season yet, but could you give us some idea of how we might be approaching that this year?
Well, I'm Mayor, Councilmember Carr, I believe that last year we signed up with the county to have them spray periodically. I would imagine that we're going to do the very same thing. I would also encourage residents to ensure that there is no standing water near their home, and if there is, to please purchase these larvicide tablets and place them in there. But we'll make sure that we do a good job with having the park sprayed so that there's not that infestation of mosquitoes.
Mr. Clay.
You know, actually, along with the great question, Councilwoman Carr, because I had a similar thought earlier today and it went away. Is there a way that the schedule is transparent that the county uses so we kind of know where they are?
Honorable Mayor, Councilmember Clay, yes, I believe we can get that schedule. We'll provide that information to you. It's a set date each month so that they're here.
Okay, so does anyone else want to chime in on mosquitoes tonight? Are we, Mr. Hales.
Thank you, Mayor. First, on Friday, I had an opportunity to do a ride-along with our fire department, so I wanted to thank our city manager and Chief Henson, as well as all of the men and women on the sea crew that were working Friday night. They were very inviting and wonderful. I got a firsthand tour of our drone program, which was really rather amazing to see firsthand up close. So I'd like to thank Firefighter Pagano for showing me that. And I also got to stay for dinner. It was really a great experience. Got to meet a lot of new new young firefighters that we've hired as part of the SAFER grant, and they are very much looking forward to beginning our ambulance service. That was relayed to me several times. Also, I wanted to announce that you may remember back in January there was a fire at Taco Buddha, which is a restaurant in my neighborhood at Pershing and Jackson. Whoops, is it back in?
You're back on.
At Pershing and Jackson, they are having their grand reopening after the fire on the 25th. So please consider coming out. It's been a long time coming, and I know they're really looking forward to it. I did just want to briefly respond to one of the comments that was made regarding what some of us may have campaigned for, because my recollection is very, very different than the recollection that was given here tonight. And I think we could almost go by a show of hands how many council members at one point campaigned on redevelopment at Olive and 170. I ran in 2014, and that was a significant thing that I ran on. That has always been important to me. I know a number of my colleagues have also run on that issue. So that is not a new issue. I also want to point out that after the last meeting, I listened to some of the comments from one of the speakers that spoke again here tonight. And one of the wonderful things about this city now and this administration is that all of these meetings are streamed. Anybody can go back and look at what was said. And so in the last meeting, there was something said, allegedly, about something I said in a meeting that I believe was back in November. I was quite certain that's not what I said. And so I went back to that meeting, and I looked up what I said. And what I said was not what was said that I said. So I think, you know, it's... And I do that regularly. I know Councilmember Carr can attest that sometimes I think I remember things one way, but I always go back and check, because oftentimes I don't quite remember or didn't quite hear things the way they did. So going back to the record is a really important thing. So I would just encourage all of us to do that, because it is available. We can make sure that what we say is correct in those circumstances. So thank you.
With nothing else from my colleagues, I'd like to remind everyone that the police focus group meets tomorrow night at 6 p.m. at the Human Community Center, and the farmers market opened this past weekend, and they will be open every Saturday from 9 to 1 through November the 11th. With that, a motion to adjourn. Motion to adjourn by Mr. Hale, seconded by Ms. Carr. Those in favor, please signify by saying aye. All opposed? The ayes have it. The meeting is adjourned.